Paul O'Sullivan's a bit of a hero with the Biz News tribe, so it's unusual to see that another hero with the tribe, Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, has been so at odds with the way O'Sullivan sees the world. It's got worse. Mkhwanazi is now suing Paul for 5 million rand for defamation. This is South Africa, freedom of speech, etc. I guess you have been saying some pretty hectic things about General Mkhwanazi, Paul. Were you surprised that he launched a defamation suit against you?
No, but I mean, first I got a letter from his attorney, which I immediately passed to my attorney. And the letter basically gave me two options, either cough up 5 million rand or retract the allegations I've made. And apologize. Now, the allegations I've made are based on factual information which I've received. I'm not going to go into the allegations now because they are, since he's issued a summons, they are now sub judice. But the reality of the situation is the highest award ever for defamation, which I think was Trevor Manuel, was 500,000 rand. And by the way, that went on appeal and it was reduced to nothing and just an apology from Julius Malema. So I don't, the guy's pushing his luck asking for 5 million rand. I mean, that's 2.5 years' salary because he's earning 2 million rand a year. Now, his contract runs out in, I think, 6 or 8 months' time. And in theory, in terms of the Police Service Act, he should actually then be going on pension. Of course, the minister may decide to renew it. But the reality of the situation is that I'm not a person that's sitting at my desk, sucking stuff out of my thumb, and then publishing it. That's not the way I operate. I wouldn't have had anything to say about Mkhwanazi at all had he not done that ill-fated media release that he did on the 6th of July. On the 6th of July, he got up and lied to the people of this country. He's trying to make out that he's trying to fix a broken criminal justice system. He's part of that broken criminal justice system, an integral part of it, and he has been for quite some time. And I can put it out there now. I've actually managed to get the metadata from the media release that he did because the journalist sitting there asked for a copy of the presentation he did. So I've got the metadata because he issued it to journalists. And one of the journalists sent it to me for comment. Now, I also had the interview or whatever you want to call it with all the cops in masks and guns around him. I had that transcribed. And there's no doubt when you read a transcription of that, that he's supporting people like General Khumalo. General Khumalo was arrested a week earlier than that interview he did, or 2 weeks earlier than that interview. And I called upon Masemola to immediately suspend the generals and brigadiers from crime intelligence that were arrested. In the media conference that Mkhwanazi did, he makes it clear that his right-hand man in all the action that he's been involved in with this Kak Matlala was General Khumalo. Now, that's strange, because General Khumalo is working for crime intelligence. Crime intelligence are supposed to be intelligence gatherers, not operational people. And now, it's the same General Khumalo who sends his girlfriend on a trip to Japan at taxpayer expense. The same General Khumalo who gives authority for the hiring of a 29-year-old brigadier with no formal police qualifications whatsoever, parachuted in at the rank of brigadier. And by the way, Masemola didn't suspend any of them. They're all back at work. And what they did last week was they brought a court application to be allowed back into their offices. Why? So that they can continue with the crimes they're committing? Because that's the way it seems. And there we have, a week after they get arrested, or 2 weeks, I think the second week after they get arrested, after I've called Masemola to suspend them all, we've got Mkhwanazi standing up, waxing lyrical about the conduct of Khumalo, who's been robbing the so-called crime intelligence slush fund. It's called the Secret Services, or the Crime Intelligence Secret Services account, which is run by Le Schaube. And here they all are having this cash, which they don't have to report on, with shocking Auditors General reports showing how money's gone missing and nobody can account for it. And we're not talking about 5 or 10 rand. We're talking millions of rand. And here we have Mkhwanazi getting up and waxing lyrical about how all these good people are. And then he inadvertently attacks me, and that was a mistake. He doesn't refer to me by name, but it's me he's referring to, if you listen carefully, when he says we have a member of the public calling for the suspension of people and bypassing police regulations. So what he's actually doing is condoning people that are arrested for corruption being back at their jobs. And then the problem is, he didn't realize this, but I already had a dossier on him. And I've been busy with that for some time. I've now handed all my findings over to IDAC, and you know, they must get on with it and do what they have to do. And I've also handed it over to another government agency, and I've handed it to the president. And I intend to meet with the Madlanga Commission and hand it in there as well. Because we cannot have a situation where one man jumps up on a Sunday afternoon, surrounds himself with all these masked men in police uniform and firearms, and tells the country that he's going to save the criminal justice system. It's just not on. And I'm afraid he's brought it upon himself. And I'm pretty sure the courts will find that. And he's a silly man. He's suing out of Johannesburg. You sue out of Johannesburg today, you're going to be lucky if you get a trial date in 5 years' time. And in 5 years' time, you know, will I still be alive? Will he still be alive? How much money will he spend? And how is he going to deal with the fact that you just don't get a 5 million rand award for defamation? You'll be lucky if you can get a 100,000 rand reward for defamation.
But Paul, the tactic here, is that to perhaps shut you up? Is that the way you're reading it?
Let's look at the timing. The Madlanga Commission is supposed to be starting today. The summons was served on me yesterday. So what do you think? You know, it's clear it's a silencing tactic, but you know, over the last 20 years, I've taken, I've carried out investigations which have resulted in the downfall of 15 generals and 17 brigadiers, senior officers, senior management of the police. And two of those, one was an acting commissioner of police, and the other was the commissioner of police, who was also the head of Interpol. Now, in all of those cases, I faced illegal arrests, my offices being raided. I've had staff of mine kidnapped. I was kidnapped myself. I was dragged off a plane in front of my children and assaulted. My two young girls at that stage, only 8 and 9 years old. I was assaulted in front of them. I was dragged away at 160 or 180 kilometers an hour to Pretoria, where I was locked in a cell with rats running around all over the place, and I was tortured. And after 3 days, I was released on 20,000 rand bail, and then I was charged and brought to court on no fewer than 65 trumped-up criminal charges, and I had to withstand 7 criminal trials, and I won all of them. All of them were dismissed with scathing attacks on the state. Now, I'm currently suing the state for, I think it's 190 million rand damages. So if I have to share 5 million of that with Mkhwanazi, it won't be the end of the world. But the reality is, none of the steps that the police, there were dirty cops conspiring to kill me as well. They were working with other criminals to have me assassinated. Now, I don't get paid for this. There's nobody saying, Paul, will you come and do this dirty work? The country needs you to do these things. There's nobody paying me. Not a single, in fact, it's costing me my own money. Now, I hear smart comments by the gullible Mkhwanazi followers that O'Sullivan is annoyed because Mkhwanazi is shutting the crime intelligence slush fund tap. Wow. Nothing of the kind is happening. What about all these cops that are staying in the Oyster Box Hotel at taxpayer expense, which includes these so-called political killings task team? What on earth was going on when people from this political killings task team went into CMAX prison last week and offered Matlala a deal when they told him, listen, if you give us dirt on Sabir, we'll stop the opposition to your bail. Now, that doesn't add up. So we've got cops infighting and this battle line's been drawn. And the battle lines are clearly the good cops and the bad cops. And everybody's painting the picture that Masemola and his tribe, which includes Kamalu and Mkhwanazi, they're all the good cops. No, they're not. I'm not saying Sabir is an angel, but I've not yet seen anything that implicates him in any wrongdoing. The reality of the matter is they are attacking him because they're afraid of what he might do next. And that will come out in the wash. And I am absolutely satisfied that Mkhwanazi standing up on the 6th of July this year and making that media briefing was part of a strategic plan to distract the attention of what's really going on in the police service today. And the Madlanga Commission, if they do their work properly and they get to the bottom of things, this country will have their eyes wide open. And that will include all these totally gullible Mkhwanazi supporters. People who don't have a clue what's really going on are going to be totally shocked. And all I'm saying is, buckle yourselves down. It's coming. They'll try and silence me. They try with a summons. That won't silence me. They tried in the past with dragging me off planes. They tried to kill me. Let them do what they have to do. I will just keep going the distance. Nobody's paying me to do this. I've been doing it for the last 20 years because I just feel it's the right thing to do. And I do it voluntary. And in fact, nobody can just say to me, here's a summons, shut up.
Paul, why do you think that there's so much cynicism towards your actions? Is this saying something about broader society that we just don't believe that there's any honorable people around and we're so deep in the mire that
the
when someone is operating with the way that you are, that it's just not believed. There's always a thought that there's an agenda somewhere.
Well, there's no agenda. The people that are close to me know that I have no agenda. My main activities are property development, not in this country, overseas. I'll have property investments in this country. I've just sold some of them off, in fact. And I've moved that money out of the country because the rand has gone south in the last few years. But the reality is my main interests are property and property overseas. And I do these things because it's the right thing to do. And all the cynicism, it doesn't bother me. It's probably one of the reasons I don't look at social media. Well, there's two reasons. A, I don't have time for it. And B, if you're on a journey and you have to stop and throw stones at every dog that barks at you, you'll never get to the place you're going. And I have so many people barking at me that I just haven't got time for it. So I just get on and do what I do, and I'm oblivious to social media, and I don't care about it until somebody sends me something like, for example, Athol Chollip attacking me. And when I dug into Athol Chollip, it became crystal clear that he's another Mkhwanazi supporter. So you have these people that think Mkhwanazi is a knight in shining armor. I'll be honest with you. 2-3 years ago, when I saw in the media that there'd been a shootout with the police somewhere in the south of Durban, and five suspects were killed and no policeman was injured, I did an air punch. But then when you start looking at it and the number of those incidents taking place, it started looking at me like, wow, the cops down there are really good. You know, a cop never gets injured and there's never a survivor. I thought, that's great, until I got approached. And people then stopped coming forward with information and evidence. Now, I'm not going to air that evidence in the media now, but the evidence has been handed over to the authorities and somebody has to investigate. And that's what's going on. At the end of the day, they can be cynical. I've been in this country over 40 years. I'm as much a citizen as anybody else in this country. When I came here, I came as an investor. I invested in property. I had a lot of properties, which I've since sold off. A lot of them I sold at a loss. So I've not made a lot of money in South Africa. In fact, I'm currently making more money offshore. But if a country is good enough to live in, it's good enough to fight for. And I've made it clear that I'm not throwing the towel in. I made that clear to Jackie Celebi 20 years ago. Now, or 15 years ago. What is it, 2025? Yeah, 2004. It's 21 years ago when I opened the criminal docket against Jackie Celebi. It was 24 years ago when Jackie Celebi went behind my back and had me my security clearance withdrawn because he said I was a foreign spy. And he had my security clearance withdrawn. And at the time, I was responsible for the safety and security at the 10 national airports in South Africa, the airports owned by AXA. And when he did that, I thought, no, to hell with you. I'm going to fight back. And that's what I did. And when I got that over and done with, everyone says, oh, well, you did a good job there. I suppose you're going to pack it in now. I said, well, I was thinking of doing that. But then some of the people that supported Celebi, I've decided to go after them. And, you know, you go after them and that leads into something else. And eventually I end up chasing Pashlani down. People approach me. They come to me, whistleblowers they are. And I suppose I'm a whistleblower tunnel or conduit, because if whistleblowers come to me, and they come to me because they say they're afraid for their lives. Now, what am I supposed to do when somebody says to me, listen, I'm afraid for my life. I believe I will be killed if anybody knows that I've come to you. So I interview them in connection with what's going on in KZN. We've had a number of people come forward and we've interviewed them and we've taken sworn statements. Now, we're not the law enforcement agency, but we're conduit. We take steps to provide that information then to the state, to authorities that we know we can trust, because they're out there.
So I guess if I understand correctly, the motivation for Mkhwanazi from your perspective is that he wants to shut you up, but you're saying that's not going to work. You are going to then defend this defamation trial. Who have you got working for you? Who are your lawyers?
I only got the summons yesterday.
Okay. You know,
I will appoint somebody and we'll go through the process. But I mean, we'll not see anything happen. If you apply for a court date today, first of all, you can't apply for a court date today. The summons has only just been issued. The process to get from now, and by the way, he's in for a shock, because the discovery process will open everything up about him and his private life. If a person claims defamation, they have to open themselves up. So the discovery process will be magical, because I believe we'll be looking for his bank statements, his credit, we'll look for everything. And when we've sat and analyzed all that, we'll see what we find, but I'm pretty sure we'll find a lot.
Surely he knows that. Surely he would have been fully aware that if he goes the whole route to court, that he's going to expose himself as well. So is this a miscalculation, or is this that he's that confident that he's right?
It's known globally as a slap suit. SLAPP. Strategic litigation against public participation. Now, quite often slap suits are used by conglomerates, big corporations who want to, for example, start a mine in an endangered wetlands area or something like that. And then the local people start fighting against that. And then they bring court actions to shut them up. So quite often slap suits are used like that. But in South Africa, slap suits are becoming more common. And they're becoming more common because of the delays in the justice system. You issue a summons today, you're going to be very, very lucky if you get to court within 5 to 7 years. I'll give an example. I issued a summons in 2018 against the state, and Duda Mayeni and Pashlami and a whole lot of other people in 2018. And our trial date is in 2026, in April 2026. So that's 8 years from issuing the summons to getting in for the trial. Now, and by the way, that could be longer because the dates keep moving all the time. But at the moment, we're looking at April 2026. Now, considering I issued the summons in 2018, that's a hell of a long journey. And by the way, the cost of doing all that has been extensive. So he's going to have to fork out the money as well. And I'll match him rand for rand all the way. I have no doubt that if he wants this fight, I'm good for it. And I'll use it to get as much information as I can concerning his conduct. And if he stops, if he tries to prevent discovery, we'll be bringing interlocutory applications to force discovery. You can't sit and say I'm shouting defamation and then I want to live a secret life. It doesn't work like that. So people, you know, I used the old Irish fellow. What was his name? Oscar Wilde. He sued for defamation and he ended up going to prison. He sued the Sunday Times or the Times in London for defamation. And he ended up getting a year in prison. And then he died in a convent in Paris, a broken man, bankrupt, because he sued for defamation. If he hadn't sued for defamation, he would have remained a well-known, wealthy individual. So sometimes people that sue for defamation, it backfires on them. But it can be strategic. You know what? I'll just issue this summons and then he'll leave me alone. Doesn't work like that. The truth has to be out there. And my defense will be quite simple, that everything I've said is true and in the public interest. And you know, you only have to look at the law and the precedents that have taken place. Defamation to succeed, it has to be wrong and it has to be intentional. What? I've never met this man, never met him, never spoken to him. Why on earth would I want to wake up one morning and say, okay, let's make up some stories about this and that, and Nkunazi did this and Nkunazi did that. And by the way, you know, put all that out there. Strangely enough, I've got some news clippings going back some years, and there's one from IOL, which at the time it was called The Star. In fact, it's The Star is still running. And in 2012, The Star published a story about how Nkunazi and Masemola had it on their toes with 35 million rand of taxpayer money on luxury cars. Now, if I quote from a newspaper article, why didn't he sue the journalist of that newspaper article back in 2012, 13 years ago? And that's what he's suing me for today. That's very strange, isn't it? So yeah. I think at the end of the day,
if he drops the case, Paul, you're not going to let it lie. You're going to carry on with it.
Well, you can't. It doesn't work like that. So you have what the legal principle is dominus litis. So the person driving the case forward has the right at any time to drop the case. They don't have to go on trial. But when they drop the case, they have to tender the costs of the other side. So the longer this goes on, when he decides to drop the case, if he decides to drop the case, he'll have to fork out money. Now, he's a public servant, So he has to be paying for this litigation himself. If somebody has come forward to pay for this litigation, that would amount to corruption. So one of the things we'll be asking the Madlanga Commission to do is to find out who's paying the lawyers. And if the lawyers are doing it pro bono, that would also amount to corruption because they are rendering free legal services. And if you look at Section 3 of Act 12 of 2004, providing free services to a public official also amounts to corruption. So if he was facing charges himself and a lawyer provided free services for him, that would be a different matter. But he's the litigant here, which means he's receiving, if he's getting free services, that would amount to corruption. So I hope he's paying himself. So he will have to spend a lot of his income on this litigation. There's no doubt about that. And if he's getting it free, there will be a charge of corruption coming.
Who's his lawyers?
I forget. Okay. I looked.
So it's not a big firm.
No. In fact, they're a Mickey Mouse outfit in Durban.
Paul O'Sullivan, certified fraud examiner, who is being sued by Police General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.